Hello and welcome to the latest of our podcasts from Princeton Athletics. I'm Jerry Price, and I'm joined by Princeton women's lacrosse coach Chris Saylor. Chris, welcome.
Thanks, Jerry. It's great to be here.
The first order of business is we need a name for this, so we've been debating some names for the podcast.
Let's hear.
We haven't come up with anything good. So, like, the one with Courtney is the Court Report, so that kind of fits in with the basketball court and her first name. And then the one with Matt Madelon is simply the Princeton Lax Cast with Matt Madelon. I thought we could call this the Princeton Lax Cast with Chris Saylor, but we're trying to find something better. We haven't found anything. You have any ideas? We came up with the Chris Saylor Show.
Wow. Let's see. Jerry, I don't know. You stumped me. I wish I had a second to think about it.
So we'll go with the Chris Saylor Show for now.
That works.
Okay. So the first edition of the Chris Saylor Show comes late in the season. It comes before the Ivy League tournament, which will be at Princeton this weekend on Sherrod Field. Friday at 4 o'clock, it'll be Penn against Dartmouth. 7-ish will be Princeton and Columbia. And then the championship game is 11 o'clock on Sunday, also on Sherrod Field. The two winners will play. Regardless of what happens, Princeton and Penn will be considered the Ivy League champions. And the winner of the tournament will get the automatic bid. The Ivy tournament gets the automatic bid to the NCAA tournament. So, with all that as a background, let's talk a little bit about the way your season has gone. And just, you know, if you want to sort of run through it a little bit, because I would not say you guys got off to a slow start. I think you play a really tough schedule. And so, it's not like there's any losses and you look up and you think, okay, like, you know, these are a few that got away. We weren't playing well. I just think it's a function of your schedule. But clearly, your team is playing the best it's played all year right now.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's really a combination of both. We did play a really hard schedule to open the season. We like to get, you know, as many top teams as we can on the schedule so we can be really challenged and tested and hopefully ready come the Ivy season. So, but at the same time, there were some games that we didn't really play well. I mean, we were starting 4 or 5 freshmen in the lineup, and we had a lot of kids who've been playing before for Princeton, but haven't really been, you know, they haven't been the entree. They've been the side dish, you know, and now they had to become the entree. And, you know, it took a little while for everybody to feel comfortable in their roles and for the team to gel at both ends of the field and really develop that chemistry.
So you have Olivia Haunt now as your volunteer assistant coach. She's the all-time leading scorer in Princeton women's lacrosse history. Princeton lacrosse history, because she has more points than any male player either. You replace her with Kyla Sears. So Kyla Sears now sets the freshman record for goals. She came in as a very heralded player and has certainly lived up to that. But what's it like swapping out a senior superstar per se for a freshman superstar per se?
Yeah, well, there's such different players. I mean, their games are entirely different. Like, Liv was really a crease kid, and she could create off the crease, and she could get herself open for feeds off of the crease, and she just had this uncanny ability to find a way to put the ball in the cage. And she was, you know, she's a big kid, and she really reads the defense really well. I think Kyla's different than her. She plays out in front of the cage, and she's a great cutter herself. She can dodge. She can you know, receive passes inside, and she has some great shots too. But they're you know, Liv was a really tall kid. Kyla is smaller in stature and doesn't have the same kind of physicality, but is just such an incredible competitor and has such an amazing stick and awareness on the field and the ability to find the cage. I think in that way, they are really similar.
But what about the whole dynamic of going from a player who everybody's used to playing with for 4 years to somebody who's new and has to step in? You know, you have the concern about stepping on people's toes. You have the concern of how they're going to fit in. How does their game even translate to the college level and all those things?
Well, that's true, though. I'd say that our team realized pretty early that she was pretty awesome. And so, you know, it wasn't a matter of her stepping on people's toes. That's one thing great about our team. I mean, they want the best players to be on the field, and they encourage each other to play their best. And so she was really welcome with open arms, and they were so happy that she came to Princeton and she's on our team because she's going to help us win. But I think for that whole group, with Hump, you know, gone from that attack, it had to take on a new dimension, and Kyla definitely helped with that. But it took us a while to find our chemistry on offense. We knew we needed to have our mids scoring a little bit more this year. We weren't as dominant on the crease as we were last year without Olivia, so we kind of had to change a little bit how we attacked and find ways to, you know, open up opportunities for all of our kids in ways that, you know, were their strengths.
Coming into the season, were there one or two players who you thought had to redefine their roles with Olivia gone, with a sort of maybe not even just in terms of like production, but in terms of leadership or something like that, and talk a little bit about who they are and how they've done that.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll start with our two captains, Camille Sullivan and Abby Finkelstein. They've done just a tremendous job leading the team. Camille's as tough as they come. She's a true competitor, and she's a midfielder, so she, you know, she's working with both ends, offense and defense, and so she can help organize and lead both of those groups. She's been just true. She gets it. You know, when we have meetings with our captains, like, they understand and they get it, and they haven't shied away from, you know, hard conversations they might have had to have with a teammate or two at times, and you know, they just really want the best for Princeton. She's been incredible. And then you have Abby Finkelstein, who, a kid who hasn't played really for 2 years. She got in the Dartmouth game, scored a goal for 10 minutes, and then she got re-injured. But she was voted captain because of the phenomenal leader she is. And to be honest, on you know, practice, she's like a fifth coach on the field. She has such good input. I find myself saying, geez, why didn't I say that? You know, she's just that good. And she runs our sub box, you know, on game day. So those two have been phenomenal leaders. I'd say, you know, Alex Argo is a kid defensively. She has played with three freshman defenders and one junior defender who had been Noni Anderson, who had been our face guarder for 2 years. And so this year, Noni moved from a face guard role to just a straight defensive role. And for the latter part of the season, there's also been a freshman goalie in the cage. So I think Argo had a lot of responsibility for stepping up and helping to teach the system to the younger kids and organizing, getting people on the same page early. I think she had, you know, a big role in the emergence of our defense.
So I was going to go to the goalie position next. We also lost Ellie DeGarma, who's a two-time first-team All-America.
Yeah.
Have you had a year like this in goal where you've literally played three goalies in one half at times this year?
Oh, well, one time. Yeah, that's not something that we would hope to do again. But, you know, coming into this year, that was our biggest question mark as we came into February. What was going to happen with our goalie situation? And we had Winnie Branfield Harvey looked to be the best goalie coming out of the fall. But then coming into the scrimmage, really, Mary Kate McDonough and Sam Fish, I think, outplayed her in the scrimmage that we had. And then she was ill for a couple of weeks and missed. And so other people kind of rose above, and it's kind of back and forth. Like, there wasn't one goalie who's like, this is mine. And I'm going to take it. No one else is going to get this position. And so, you know, we gave the nod to MK, our senior, early because we thought she deserved that and had earned it as a senior. And she played, you know, she played pretty well for us, helped us win some games. But Sam would often come in if there were lapses during a game, and she played really well too. And when we made the switch early in the game at Penn State, I think that was really the turning point for Sam and building up her confidence. She came in, I think, had 11 saves versus 6 goals against in that game. And then has, except for the Syracuse game, has been consistently our goalkeeper ever since. And now is 10th in the nation in save percentage, which is pretty phenomenal.
I mean, she was second team All-Ivy, right?
She was second team All-Ivy, yeah.
Which is, you know, for you to come out of the season with a second team All-Ivy goalie, I think that's pretty, you'll take that.
I'll take that, for sure.
Let's talk a little bit about you. This is your 14th Ivy League championship, which ties you with the number that Bill Tierney had during his tenure here. It's one more than Pete Carril had. Do you think about your place in history of Princeton athletics, not just lacrosse? But
I didn't know either of those those stats, so no, I don't really think about that. I, you know, clearly I want to leave a legacy here of having great lacrosse teams, of doing things the right way, of really helping to develop players and people as I coach, and, you know, fielding competitive teams. So someone asked me yesterday, does it ever get old? And I'm like, no, it doesn't get old. I know we've gone long stretches without winning one. And so, you know, winning a championship in the league never gets old. And to be honest, it's just gotten harder and harder. This, you know, the last 8 years or so, the parity in the league is just incredible. And you see it with two different teams in the Ivy League tournament this year in Dartmouth, who probably hasn't been there in about 6 years, and Columbia, who's never made it before. And there's just so many great athletes who play women's lacrosse across the country that there's a lot of talent to spread around. And it's made for more parity both in the league and without of the league, outside of the league. You just see, you know, winning, losing. A lot of records around 500, people knocking each other off. You just can't take anything for granted. So each one of those championships is special. And it, for this team to do it in this year, having lost five senior starters and two first-team All-Americans, I'm just so proud of our team and what we've been able to accomplish so far.
I used to talk to Bill Tierney about this a lot. I never really had a conversation with Kirill about this, and I've talked to Courtney about it as well. How do you keep the fire burning? If you never coached another game, you're already in the Hall of Fame. You won three national championships. You have all these Ivy League championships. You've been to 24 NCAA tournaments.
Yeah, so long as you're you never want to go out on a bad note, right? You want to, I think, the drive in
people,
there is to continue it.
But some people don't have that drive. You see a lot of coaches who don't last more than 10 years, 15 years. And to see people who do, it's, there's something unique about them. If you just look around here, look at Fred Samara.
Absolutely. There are so many examples at Princeton of people who have had longevity and have had success over time in a variety of different programs. I don't feel like I'm different than a lot of other coaches here who are still coaching or who have recently retired. I think this place really breeds excellence and breeds that competitive drive. And, as a person, years when we don't win the Ivy, that doesn't make for, necessarily a fun summer for me.
I haven't been one of those years in five in a row now.
Yeah, exactly. And, I really think, I give a lot of credit, to be honest, to my assistant coaches, Jen Cook, who's the associate head coach now, and Karen Maurer this year, and Ann Murray beforehand. So much of what happens on the field, yes, the head coach has a big part in that, but you certainly don't do it alone. And without without my assistants, I don't know that I'd be here. I think we got an infusion of new blood 6 years ago, and we've won five Ivy titles since. And the environment in the office is really, it's fun, and we enjoy kind of planning for games, preparing the scout report, and that's made it fun for me. And yeah, as long as I'm coaching, I want to keep winning. I think I'd have a hard time if it were the other way around.
So let's talk about the Ivy League tournament that's coming up here at Princeton. The men's tournament is at Columbia. That was a predetermined site. The women here, because Princeton's the top seed, would have been, a Penn or Dartmouth if they had been the top seed. What's your thought on that? And I'm not really 100% sure what I think yet either. I guess it depends on how many people show up at Columbia, but what do you think
right.
of it?
Well, I think, the predetermined site...
you obviously want to play at home.
Right,
you're happy
you obviously,
that.
The predetermined site helps you get fans into seats because in advance, they can plan for it, they have it on their schedule. I'm sure the men went to Columbia because so many alums of the programs work in New York City. It would be easy for them to draw a big crowd there. But as a team that certainly wins the opportunity to host, you'd love to have it at the host seat. So personally, I'm for that. I think you should get something for, your regular season performance when it comes to the tournament, and to be able to play in front of your fans and at your home field, not have to travel. I think that's an appropriate reward.
Just so I understand, the men's coaches put this forward to have at a neutral site, and the women's coaches didn't want to?
I don't know how that, and I only, recently in the last month or so, I really heard about where the men's site was going. The women have talked about
it. Which isn't a good
it.
Sign if they're moving it so people will know in advance.
Well, that's true. If they're, I know a number of women think a predetermined site is the way to go. They do that in a number of other conferences. And that's one way to play it. And you know where you're going, and everybody's traveling, and you get your mindset on that. I've liked the notion of earning the top seed and earning the home site.
I love it that it's at the top seed, because I'm a big fan of valuing the regular season. So
yeah, me too. I feel that same way.
So let's talk about the tournament. You have to turn around and play Columbia again for the second time in 6 days. 22-16 was the final up there.
Shootout.
Do we expect a similar game?
And
what about the idea of playing a team twice in 6 days?
Yeah, I think we're used to that when it comes to Ivy tournament because we've usually played Penn and Cornell late in the season, and they're the teams we've usually played in the NCAA tournament. So, in the Ivy League.
And the NCAA tournament last year.
Yeah, you're right, in the NCAA tournament. So, I think you have to be ready for it to be – it's going to be a different game. If you look at last year – Penn beat us 17-12 in the regular season, and it really was not as close as that score indicated. And last year, we beat them by 8 or 9 in the Ivy League. So we have a really current example of what happens in the regular season doesn't always happen in the postseason. So I think you just take it as a new game. What's good for our team is that they're very familiar with Columbia now. You know, we know how they play. We're not just watching them on film, but, you know, it's not like they're going to change a whole heck of a lot between the last game and this game. And we know areas where we need to improve. So, you know, I think the challenge for us is really to keep our focus on Columbia this week and to playing a better game than we played up there on Saturday.
Okay, so we want to do this again next week, regardless of what happens?
Sure.
Okay, so then I can save some of my other questions for next week, such as, you can think about this, obviously the scoring is way up in women's lacrosse,
yeah.
And it's, I would say, obviously a function of the 90-second shot clock.
Absolutely.
So we could talk about that next week, and we'll talk about the Ivy League tournament, hopefully looking ahead to the NCAA tournament for the 25th time for you, since you're not up on your own historical record. And
okay.
In the meantime, glad we were able to do this for the first time so late in the season, and we'll do it again next week, and then hopefully we'll continue next year.
Me too. Thanks, Jerry.
So we'll call this the Chris Saylor Show.
Why not?
Chris Saylor Show, the first edition in the books. Thank you for being with us. For Princeton Women's Head Coach Chris Saylor, I'm Jerry Price. Thanking you for being with us, and thank you for your support of Princeton Women's Lacrosse.